How are we doing this morning? Nice. Good to see everyone here. We are continuing our series on the prophets. The title of today's sermon is Jeremiah the Failed Prophet. Now, I was with a friend last night. He's like, what are you preaching on tomorrow? I told him the title, and he's like, what do you mean the failed prophet? He's in the Bible. How could he be a failure? And I said, I got you. That's exactly what I was hoping for with this title, that it would be jarring and make you lean in a little bit, wondering, what in the world are we going to be talking about this morning? Each week, over the past couple of weeks, we have been pulling apart, dissecting one of the different scrolls, one of the different prophets. Last week, can you remember which prophet did we look at last week? All right. A few people were paying attention. I like it. Today, any idea who we're speaking about? Jeremiah. All right, good. You guys have had your coffee this morning. Now, a little background to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he started his work of prophecy 627 BCE, and he went till sometime in the late 580s BCE, spanning 4 decades. That is a lot of prophecy. It's hard enough being a prophet for a year. I mean, try it for a couple of months, and you're probably already like, yeah, I'm done with this job description. I'm over this. Imagine 40 years of being a prophet. That's why the book of Jeremiah, it's a pretty thick book. He's considered one of the major prophets. You have your major prophets, which are bigger books, and then you have your minor prophets, which we have predominantly been looking at, which are smaller scrolls. Jeremiah was one of the major prophets. He has many, many of his words written in the Bible. Obviously, he went at it for about 40 years. Now, part of his message, it was to the southern kingdom of Judah before the exile in 587 BCE. Do we remember what happened 587 BCE? We've been talking about it pretty much every single week of this series. The destruction of Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of Judah. Remember, Israel was split into two. You had the northern, you had the southern. The northern, the Assyrians came in, demolished them, moved them into captivity. The southern kingdom stood for a little bit longer. And then which major empire came in and destroyed Jerusalem, southern kingdom of Judah? Okay, after the Assyrians, it was the Babylonians. Little history 101 this morning. Mm-hmm. The coffee, yeah, it's out there if anyone needs it. Jeremiah was speaking before the exile to the southern kingdom. And what do you think his message was? What do you think he was telling them? Like, you guys are about to be destroyed, right? I mean, pretty common if you're a prophet in this time. Hey, guys, the way in which you're living, God's not too happy with how things are going here, with how you have set up your society. If you don't change your ways, some other kingdom is going to come and they will destroy you. They'll remove you from the land. Not really a great message, not a way to win friends, influence people. That was his message. And then he spoke after 587 to those who had been exiled, those who had seen their homeland destroyed and had been moved all throughout the Babylonian Empire. Some exiles found their way down into Egypt. So he spoke before the exile, and then he spoke during the time after people had experienced this massive upheaval. 40 years. Now, I have the question here. What was his message? Right in the beginning of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1, verses 9 through 10. This sums up basically the entire book of Jeremiah. The Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, think about that illustration, that picture for a moment. Now, do you think the Lord physically reached out and touched his mouth? But this is exactly how it felt to him. And think about it. If someone were to put their hand over your mouth, what essentially are they telling you? Yeah. Be quiet. Because Jeremiah had all these thoughts. Here's what I want to do. Here's the message that I would give. Or, God, you know what? That's really not for me. I mean, think about Moses, where he argued with God, there's no way I could possibly, I can't be your messenger. I can't do this. Jeremiah, very, very similar, arguing with God. Have you ever done this with God? You feel like there's something that God is calling you, inviting you to do, and you're like, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to step. That's too big of a risk. That makes me a little bit too, I'm not prepared for this. This is how Jeremiah feels. God, I'm not prepared to go and be your messenger. I'm not prepared to go and speak to the people. What if they reject me? What if they, I saw what happened to some of the prophets who came before me. Well, what if I risk my neck and I'm completely rejected? I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I have the maturity, right? Who knows what was going through Jeremiah's mind? But after all of this, God reaches out his hand, puts it over his mouth, and says, I don't care what you think. I don't care about your hangups. Here's what you are going to do. Today I appoint you over the nations and the kingdoms too. And this is his entire ministry. Uproot and tear down to destroy and overthrow. Which, if you're Jeremiah, God's like, all right, here you go. This is what you're going to talk about. Things being torn down. Are you like, yes, I am in. Now, you're probably going to even more push back and say, no, I'm not going to do this. But then notice here, to build and to plant. And this is roughly the outline of Jeremiah. There's 2/3 destruction and about 1/3 of hope. Remember, he spoke before the exile, which is all about doom, destruction, change your ways. And then he spoke during the exile, which was all about, I know things look bleak right now. I know things don't really look good, but God will restore. So Jeremiah walked with his people. He was the presence of God for his people, for this community, preparing for the exile, and then throughout this period of darkness. I have a question, another question for us. This is a little Q&A this morning, except I'm the one doing the Q-ing. You'll all do the A-ing, the answering. How do you think Jeremiah's message was received? Was everyone like, yes, Jeremiah, all right, we will change our ways. You're telling us everything about how we're living is wrong. We are on board with you. We will change everything. We'll overthrow our entire system, and we'll begin to live again as God's people. Was that how Jeremiah was received? No, not at all. 3 examples of what happened to Jeremiah. And a little forewarning here, there are a whole bunch of ancient Hebrew names. I had to phonetically write them out on my notes. Let's see how well I do this morning. If I'm wrong, you guys won't even know. So that's a good thing for me. Jeremiah then returned from Topheth, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and stood in the court of the Lord's temple and said to all the people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on this city and all the villages around it every disaster I pronounced against them, because they were stiff-necked and would not listen to my words." Now when the priest, Pashur, son of Immer, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. Destruction's coming. Because you haven't changed your ways, what's the people's response? What happens to Jeremiah? He's beaten and put in prison. We don't want to hear that message. You're supposed to give us a message of hope. I mean, you come to church every Sunday because you want to be inspired. You want a message of hope. Imagine if there was no hope in my sermon whatsoever, and for 30 minutes I told you how the ways in which you're all living are completely contrary to how God desires for you to live. And if I were to tell you that your life is ending, your way of living, it's going to be uprooted, it's going to be torn down because you haven't obeyed God. You going to come back next Sunday? I mean, hopefully you won't beat me in the front up here. You won't drag me to prison. But imagine if you're a visitor and that's the church that you go to that Sunday. You will never go back to that church again. Because you're not going to like how you feel walking out. This was Jeremiah's message. Like, I've been talking to you guys for months. I've been telling you to change. I've been giving you God's message. God is saying to you, please change your ways or something bad is going to happen. But now because you haven't listened, because you've been stiff-necked, well, now it's inevitable. This kingdom, this society, it will be destroyed. And so the people come, they beat him, and they put him in jail. But Jeremiah keeps on going. And here's what God says to Jeremiah a little later in the book. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they will each turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. We're a little later in the book of Jeremiah now. And God says to him, write every single thing that you have heard from me, everything that you have said to the people, write it down. Here is an example of God's mercy and God's patience. Remember what happened, Jeremiah 19? It was because they were stiff-necked, I will bring destruction. Now, here we are a little later in the book, and God is still saying, there's still a chance. There's still hope. God still has faith in humanity. God has faith in you and me, that no matter where we've been, no matter how long we've been walking in a particular direction, we still have the potential to turn and to change how we're living. God is continuing to hold out hope that the people can create a just society, a society where no one is left behind and where everyone's voice is heard, where everyone is loved and cared for, and where no one is kicked to the side. I mean, this is God's faithfulness to you and to me and to this entire creation. God keeps giving one chance after the next. Here's what happens. So the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and Jehudi brought it from the room of Elishama, the secretary, and read it to the king. Here's all the words of Jeremiah. Let's bring it to the king because he's the one who can enact change. And all the officials standing beside him. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. Now, whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns of the scroll, what did the king do? The king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to be confronted with how it is that he's leading this country. Yeah, these words of God, we're going to cut them off. And we're going to burn them. We're going to burn this book because we don't like the message within this book. So then the king commanded Jeremiah, a son of the king, Sariah, son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, son of Abdeel, to arrest Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. We don't like your message. We're going to burn the book. And then we're going to put you and your scribe, the one who wrote these words, and we're going to put you in jail. But Jeremiah keeps on going. This is what the Lord says. This city will certainly be given into the hands of the army of the king of Babylon, who will capture it. Then the official said to the king, this man, speaking about Jeremiah, he should be put to death. He is discouraging the soldiers who are left in this city, as well as all the people, by the things he is saying to them. This man, it's not seeking our good. He's not for us. He's not standing. He's actually speaking against us. He's not seeking the good of these people. He's seeking their ruin. So what does King Zedekiah say? He's in your hands. I will do nothing to oppose. In other words, whatever you want to do to him, I don't care. You have my blessing. You want to put him to death? Great. Put him to death. I'm sick of hearing from him. I don't want to hear another word that this man, this prophet, utters. So they took Jeremiah. They put him in the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud. And Jeremiah sank down into the mud. It's a powerful picture. Lowered by himself, where he's left to sit alone in the mud. How do you think he was feeling at this point? Probably pretty depressed. Lonely. He was abandoned. Yeah, abandoned by the people, but abandoned by God as well. God, I did everything for you. You told me it was going to be okay. I listened to you. I followed you. The words that I felt your spirit was giving me, I spoke them to your people. Things were going to just, whew, I was going to be one of Time's most 100 influential people of the year. And here I am, alone by myself in the mud. Where's my next meal going to come from? Will I see my family again, my friends? Will my very life be taken from me? See, Jeremiah, he wasn't listened to. And this is true about all the prophets. If we were to look at the prophets and look at their ministry, every single one of the prophets, we would look at them as a failure. The only prophet, who knows this, the only prophet who's not a failure? Jonah. And what's really, really interesting about Jonah, he wanted to be a failure. The only prophet who wanted to be a failure was successful. All the other prophets who wanted to be successful were failures because the people didn't listen to them. For years, 40 years, change your ways, change your ways. No one listened. If you change your ways, destruction will not come to you. Well, what happened? Jerusalem was destroyed. Jeremiah was not listened to. Now, after his death, his message became seen as authoritative. After Jeremiah died, the form that you have of Jeremiah in your Bibles, the book that you have, it was compiled by people who realized after Jeremiah had died, after Jerusalem went through everything it went through, oh, wow, this man actually had some wisdom. God's spirit was actually with this man. So what you're reading now, it didn't come about until much, much later after the life of Jeremiah. This is true for many great artists. This painting right here, I had the answer of who it is, but who is this? Yeah, we can all, if I didn't even put the name, do you think you would have been? Maybe I should have done that. Let me go back and change my notes. We know this artist here. Maybe we've stood in a museum. We've looked at this painting. We've been awestruck by its beauty. At the time, rejected by the art community. It was too progressive. It was too abnormal. It was too unfamiliar. Here's another artist. The great Van Gogh. Who has seen Starry Night? We'll all recognize Starry Night. Oh, that's Van Gogh. Yeah, that's his style right there. Here's another artist. He died. He didn't get all the publicity that he has now. For many, many artists, they were beyond their time. While they were alive, their work was seen as, it's too far out there. It's too unfamiliar to all of us. This is the truth of the prophets as well. See, for Jeremiah, he was preaching about a different way of living. And he had a vision for what the world could look like. This is the same for all the artists. They had a vision for what art could look like. They could see it, but it wasn't accepted by their peers because it was a vision that these artists had, but not that the larger community had. Jeremiah, he had a vision from God about how society could flourish. For how all creation could flourish. The unfortunate reality is that not everyone could see it. He was preaching about a way of living that would honor God, that would honor the dignity of every single person and the creation itself. But the larger community were living in a way that was comfortable. For us as humans, as people, we live in a way that's comfortable for us. Whenever we become a bit uncomfortable, we do everything we can to get back to how it was before. We had a candidate who ran on a particular slogan about returning to how life was earlier. And it appealed to a lot of people because we like things normal. We want things comfortable. If something feels a little bit too progressive for us, If it feels too unfamiliar, we're like a turtle. We want to revert back into our shell. We don't like to be challenged. I'm the same way. What happened to Jeremiah? He was beaten. He was put in jail. But that's how it is. We want life to be comfortable. We've set our lives up in a particular way because it works for us. Same is true for the people in the time when Jeremiah was preaching. And so when Jeremiah comes with a message, you have to change everything. Your way of living, it works for you, but it doesn't work for everyone. And you need to change some things. Everyone's like, I don't want, shut him up. Put him in the mud. Burn the scroll. Let's get away from this message. We don't want to hear what God has to say. We go to church. We say our prayers. We sing our worship songs. Isn't that good enough? Isn't God happy enough with us that we set aside an hour or 10 minutes a day, whatever it looks like? I love this quote by Walter Brueggemann. For those who do not notice the sickness, the future that God will give is a threat and a burden. Whew. That's good. That gives me goosebumps. When we can't see the sickness and the decay within our own lives, we don't have the awareness of the death that we carry within us. Any new future that God wants to give, a future that is good for everyone, it becomes a threat to the way of living that we have created for ourselves. So we throw those prophets in the mud. We shut them up because that vision, yeah, I don't see it. I don't want it. I'm okay with where I am. Here's Jeremiah. Many people have said that he is the most emotive of the prophets. Here are some of his words. My grief is beyond healing. My heart is broken. Listen to the weeping of my people. It can be heard all across the land. I mean, these are powerful, deep, deep words. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me, and you prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. I think it's safe to say that he's a bit upset with God. You ever been here before? You've deceived me, God. Your message is an insult. It's bringing me harm. So the question is, well, what kept Jeremiah going? After that first round in prison, you'd think maybe he would have given up. Like, God, I'm done with this. I'm moving. I'm out of here. I don't want to hear anymore. Right after that verse we just read, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. There was something, this spark that Jeremiah had within him. No matter how much he tried to avoid what God was placing on his heart, he couldn't shake it. It was like a fire burning within him. When I first started a church, about 2010, a little before when I was thinking about it, someone gave me this advice. Someone else who had gone this road before. He said, if you can do anything else, go and do that. Like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a church. Listen, if there's anything else that you can do, if you can go work at a law firm, you can go put taxes together, whatever you can do, go and do it. You know, talk to John Shue about getting a job. Whatever you can do, just go and do the thing. But if you can't do anything else, then start a church. Well, I'm here. It was like that fire burning inside me. Like, no, you know what? I can't envision doing anything else. There's something here within me, and I have to pursue it. I have to go for it. About 2 years into Awaken, it was a Monday morning. I was walking through White Plains, and the first couple of months, years of Awaken, they were rough. Actually, they were so rough. Whenever I saw a new person come in the door, it was like, whoa, there's a new person here? Like, this is weird. That's how much I wasn't expecting new people, visitors, to come through the door. And I remember there was one Monday morning, I was walking through White Plains. I saw a bench. I sat on it. And like Jeremiah in the mud, I was feeling alone, abandoned. God, you told me to do this thing. You told me to start this church. And I had a vision for how the thing would go, for how it would be. I mean, but then there'd be some weeks we'd have like four people there. And this would happen for a while. There came a point where I'm like, do I want to keep doing this? You've deceived me, God. What's going on here? And I sat there and I went back to that advice. If you can do anything else, go for it. But if you can't, start a church. And I asked myself, well, can I do anything else? Can I see myself pursuing something else? And the answer was no. So I'm still here. Like Jeremiah, there's this fire within me. I'm weary from holding it in. There's a burden. There's a vision that I held within me for something beyond what I was experiencing. And I wanted to put my energy, my effort, into moving toward that vision. Here's what I believe about each one of you. Within each of you is a fire. It's burning within you. Sometimes we step out. We risk something. And it doesn't go how we expect. So for some of us here in the room, you've poured water on that fire. There's something that God has placed on your heart. It's a vision for how your life could be. A vision for someone in your family, a friend, a vision for your community, a vision for how this world could be. There's something that seems a bit off, and you want to bring healing. And so you risked and you stepped out, and you tried, you prayed, and you felt like you were following where the Spirit was leading you, but the results weren't there. And you have found yourself laying there in the mud or sitting on a park bench. God, you deceived me. You planted this vision. You gave me these words, this message. I prayed. I tried. I spoke to this person. I went and I started that. But it's not working out. And so for some of you, you've kind of just put that fire down. And you've acted like you pretended that it's not there. But the truth is that that fire, the vision that you have within you for how life could be, for how you could make a change in this world, for how you could be the presence of Jesus for your family, for your community, for this world, it's still burning within you. That is your gift that you have to offer the world. Jeremiah, he kept on going. All the prophets, they kept on going despite opposition, despite a lack of their message being heard. We're still talking about Jeremiah 3,000 years later. That's a long, long time. We're still reading his scroll. One of the interesting things about the book of Jeremiah is that there's all these false prophets who Jeremiah is speaking out against. And all the false prophets, they come with the very opposite message that Jeremiah has. Jeremiah says, destruction. The prophets say, no, God is with you. We don't know the name of all these false prophets, but we know the name of Jeremiah. We're still speaking about Jeremiah 3,000 years later. You have no idea what kind of an impact you will make. And often, we won't see the result of the very life and energy that we pour out for others. We won't see it. Someone might move away, never to be heard from again. Or sometimes, like the artists like Van Gogh and Monet, your work, your effort, what you pour into this world, it's appreciated only after you're gone. What I believe about each one of you is that within you, there's a fire burning within your soul. Let's not pour any more water on it. Let's pour some gasoline on it. Whatever you're weary of holding in, whatever that vision is, may you have the courage to step out, to risk, to keep going, to keep following where you feel the Spirit leading you. And like Jeremiah, may you entrust all the results into God's hands.